Boker Tov, 34 days to the Omer, Tov Shin Samar Zayin, Besefet Yevamot, rolling on Daf Dalet, and we're at the bottom of Daf Gimel on the gate. So yesterday we went through the various limudim, as to how it is that we know that there's no chiyuv of Yibum in a case where the woman who falls to Yibum is not only a brother's wife, but also is one of the other arayot. So we learned it out from Achot Isha, which now became the model. Since the word aleha occurs in Achot Isha, and the entire mitzvah is yavo aleha, so currently it's telling me that this isur of lotikach litzror is even under circumstances where yavamo yavo aleha. However, lotikach litzror, in this case, lavo aleha. Furthermore, we learn out from latzur that there's a concept of tzara, and from the tzror that there's a double concept of tzara, which is the tzara of a tzara. And that's where we were up to yesterday. But the implication is the Gemara is going to be interested in discovering, discussing today, the implication is that somehow or other we would have made the assumption, if it hadn't been for that pasuk, that Yevama should fall to a Yibum, despite the fact that there may be an Issur Karet, an Issur Skila, or a Srifa, or whatever, and that we absolutely have to have this Aleh, because otherwise we would have said that it would have been nonetheless chal b'makom mitzvah. Says the Gemara today, five lines up from the bottom, so time of the katav rachmana aleha. In other words, you're telling me that the only reason that we know that a yavama does not fall to a yavam in a case where she is a surah on him with an additional Easter erva is because the Torah writes the word, quote, aleha, unquote. Alavach, if it wouldn't be for that, I would have thought that the case would be that even the Achot Isha, and also all of the other cases, which Achot Isha served as a model to tell me that she's not mityabemet, that nonetheless, she would have fallen to Yibum. I'm not quite sure I understand why that's true. I assume that even though we're talking about Yisurei Karet and Yisurei Mitah, you're saying that if it hadn't been for Allah, I would have said, "Yamirin atiase v'dachi lo tase." Since the Torah is telling us mitzvah tasev yevamo yavo aleha, and the yisur of arayot is a lo tishkav, so in some sense it's a lav, whatever the lotion is, they're all lavim, and that's why you're saying we need aleha. I mean, I thought imad yamirin atiase v'dachi lo tase greida. From what I understand, of course, we're going to go out to prove this now. The only time that we would say that a mitzvah tase is docha lo tase is where there's a lo tase without any associated chiyuv of karet, chiyuv of mitah. So normal lo tase, which is a chiyuv lav, that's the chiyuv malchut. Okay, there we have proof, as we'll see soon, that atiase v'dachi lo tase. But lo tase shish po karet. In this case, you want to talk about yevama yavo aleha being docha and isur mitah, such as the mitos and the chamotos, or nisur skila, such as kalato, or nisur karet, as all of the other arayot, midafi. Is that really true? Not to mention the fact that now that you raise the issue, how do we even know that a lota aseh is nitcha mipnei an aseh? I mean, it's a little counterintuitive, isn't it? I mean, you think that a aseh we always relate to as being not so chamur. The lota says chamur. There's no chiyuv of karet on any aseh except for mila and pesach. There's no chiyuv of malkut on any aseh by definition. And every lota aseh, even the smallest, unless it's a nitak laseh or it's a nbom aseh, but a standard lota aseh already has a chiyuv of malkut associated. And yet you're playing around over here with a concept that we're all assuming that an aseh is docha lota aseh. What's really the basis of that? Minala the dachi. All of a sudden, we switch to this. I mean, certainly every place in Shas where we come to the issue of Esei Dovalo says, we don't start at Sheshit Mei Bereshit and go through the whole thing again. But the point is, obviously, that we were dealing with Yibum. By definition, we're dealing with something strange. Because we certainly know that there's an Isra Erva of Eishet Ach. And we have, by definition, a mitzvah yibum that can only take place in violation of the Yisur Eishet Ach. So there's something innate in yibum that tells us that the Torah somehow values the act above and beyond the Yisur. That's innate in yibum. Now the question of whether we would say that that's true about all our ayot seems essentially additive. What's already, you're being doche erva for the purpose of yibum, maybe be doche every erva. So it's clear that we have to here start an understanding of what is the meaning of Aseh Docha Lo Taseh, because normally we talk about Aseh Docha Lo Taseh, it's something that isn't innate in the mitzvah. I mean, over here, Yibum is inconceivable unless it involves the Yisur Meshuvah, correct? So that already, whereas the other Arayot, it's certainly perfectly conceivable to have Yibum exist without being Docha the other Arayot. It's only the Yeshutach that it isn't going to be Docha. All of these concepts here begin first with a general question of whether we're Ma'adif, the act, over the passive, the law. So first we ask, basically, the assumption that we make that Aseh Docha Lo Taseh, and why we also make the assumption that that's not true about Sheyesh Bo Karet, that's all not so, would be contextually with the Makor, of course. So let's start at the most obvious Makor. And that is, Dichtiv, on the one hand it says, Lo Tilbash Abnis, the dealing Taselah. So the Torah suddenly over here tells us once again the Dinam of Shapes in the middle of Kitetzei. Yomar Rabbi Elazar, note the way in which Loto Bashat Nez in one pasuk reads right on into the next pasuk, Gedilim Tasselah. Says Loto Bashat Nez Temu Pishtim Yardav. What's the next thing you have to do with preservation in China? Gedilim Tasselah Arba Kanfot Ksutecha Ksutcha. Make tzitzit. Don't wear shatnez, but make tzitzit. Says Rabbi Elazar, look. Smuchim in Torah minayin. I mean, obviously we're Doris Smuchim, that we have a Kabbalah to be Doris Smuchim, but there's even a mocker for it, really, that's Merumas in Tanakh. Shinemar Smuchim le'ad la'olam asuyim be'emet v'yashar. So that when something is next to each other, it's placement. Don't think that context is coincidence. Context is everything. So if something is placed next to something else, you've got to understand why it's there. And that is the emet and yashar of Torah. Yomar, Rav Sheshes, Omar Rabbi Elazar, Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Minayin liyevaman. A very clear example of this, besides the psukim that we just had, is how do we know that Yevamash nafla lifnei mukar shechin, she'in chosminota, despite the fact that the din of Yibum is something that is prescribed and defined by the Torah as a zika already existing, so that Yevamah Yavoala would be even Baal Korcha. There's no kinyan that's necessary, and therefore no mekor for dat of the woman to be involved in the kinyan of the Yibum. But nonetheless, that doesn't mean that there's no makom for the dat of the woman to be involved in terms of her willingness to go along with this relationship. That's a different issue. We don't need her das for kinyan. But suppose she says, this guy nauseates me. It's because it says, lo tachsom shor b'disho. And immediately after saying, lo tachsom shor b'disho, the next pasuk is, ki yeshu echin yachtav, and so on. All of the parsha of Yibum. Well, what's the connection between lo tachsom shor b'disho? So it's telling me that idea of lo tachsom, you don't push something together where they don't belong together. And Rav Yosef further says, so that's the loshon she'im chosmimota. We don't lock her up with him together. So there's no chiv of pushing him on her, just as there's no heter to be chosei meshor when he's in the middle of his work on the tefuah.
It's like a regular kedushin that she has to agree.
No, she doesn't have to agree to the kinyan at all. But she can have grounds for saying the person is not personally. Here we're talking about a mukashin. So it's not just that he's personally disgusting; he's objectively disgusting. We'll see later on to what extent we're initially alpi the etzem halacha, and then furthermore where the chachomim defined it. But in any event, we won't force her into it. Yeah, that's a strange thing anyway. But let's wait till we get to it. The Omer of Yosef, afilu bad yama, the lodo is smuchim biyama. These psukim occur in Kitetzei. Kitetzei is part of Devarim. The klal is that even the Madiomer who does not hold. Go ahead, try it again. Even the Madiomer who does not hold of Smuchim all over the Torah is Moda that in Mishneh Torah, in Devarim, you do Darshan Smuchim. It means that there's another sense of context in Mishneh Torah that does not exist in the rest of the Chumash. How do we know? Who is that, by the way? I mean, we're going off something of a little bit of a tangent over here to deal with the issue of smuching. Remember, I mean, we're popping into various levels here. We started off with the question of the Yavama, which is Esedokalosa. Then we went into the overall question of Esedokalota, which brought us to smuching. Now we're going, popping down one level into the question of whether smuchim is universal as dafka Mishnah Torah. In order to do that, we have to show that there's a mandiyom who generally isn't dores smuchim. We're popping down yet another level, just to keep your mind at where we are on the on your flow chart over here. So we're now into Rebbe Yehuda. It's Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yehuda generally does not dores smuchim. Do Rebbe Yehuda the Amar lo dores. Here's my model for this. We know Rebbe Yehuda doesn't darsh smuchim around the Torah, but the Mishnah Torah. In Devarim, which is the repeat of the Torah, he is darsh. Okay, let's just prove that. B'yama minolan de lo darsh. How do we know that Rebbe Yehuda is not darsh smuchim? T'tanya ben Azai omer, ne'mar mar shefa lo techaye, v'ne'mar kol shochei v'imbeima lot yumat. So we find two psukim that seem to be completely unrelated, and that is the chiyuv of misa on a machashefa, followed by the issur of sleeping with an animal. Now this is completely unrelated, despite the fact the only machashef we know sleeps with animals, but that's just a coincidence. Bilam and his happy chamor. So the question over here is what is the point of putting these two things together? Ah, samchuinyan lo. It puts them together to teach us a halakha. That ma shochevim beima biskila. Just like there's a chiyav of shochevim beima, but that is a chiyav of skila, because we know that it says by the isha that's nirvat, it says the mayam bam. The mayam bam is defined as skila, because by Ovi Yedoni it says both things. It says Yir Gemurotam, Demeyam Bam. So that means that Demeyam Bam, the Torah uses for Skila. That means that just like, that's a given, that the Shochem Beima is Biskila, the Machashefa is also Biskila. Omalei Rebbe Yehuda, that's ridiculous. Just because it happens to be sitting next door, we're going to take the guy out and we're going to stone him and we're going to tell him, well, you know, context is everything, my friend. I mean, you know, he doesn't like that idea very much. Skila is a very chomor misa. I would go easy on him, you know. All we have to do is choke him to death or something like that. Do we really have to do with Skila? So, I mean, that language obviously is being mezalzel and smuchi. So clearly he thinks that samchu inyan lo is irrelevant. And he's telling us that that's not the point. I agree with you, by the way, that it's true. But that it's true for a completely different reason. Now, look, the overall sense of bechashvim includes the idea of Ovin Yadoni and speaking to the dead and bringing up spirits and mediums and all of that kind of stuff. So, Lama Yatzu, why then does the Torah specify an entire parsha of Ovin Yadoni in which it says, interestingly enough, which was exactly the makor of the mayhem bomb of the Isha in the previous pasuk, right? It was the Shochevetz in Behemah in that pasuk, but he says, but that's not the point. Go directly to the Makar, the Mayim Bam, Be'evin Yergamu, the Mayim Bam. Where's that said? That's said by Ovin Yadoni. He says, it's Beferish, and it's Beskila. What was the point of mentioning again Ovin Yadoni if you're already telling me that there's a Chiyav of Misa by a Mechashev? Ah, we have one of the Midot Shatorah Nidreshet Behem, Shekol Davar Shaya Bichlal V'yatza Min HaChlal L'Lamed, Lo L'Lamed Al Atzmo Yatza, Lo L'Lamed Al HaKlal Kulo Yatza. So Ovi Adoni Hayu Bichlal. They were included in the Klal of Mechashvim. If the Torah repeats the parsha and adds the word Bevin Yudimuotam, so it's La'amed ala Klal Kulo Yatza, that all Mechashvim, of which Ovi Adoni is an example, are Chayev in Skila, and that's the meaning of the Mot Yumat that's mentioned in general, of the Lot Chayev here of Mechashefa. So it teaches us that Mechashefa B'Skila. Alright, so we see that Rebbe Yehuda clearly is not Doresh in other chumashim. Where do we see that he is darish in Mishnah Torah? The Mishnah Torah minolan the darish that he takes smuchim seriously. Did not. The Mishnah says, according to the Tanakhama, Nosei adam anusat aviv umufutat aviv, anusat beno umufutat beno. We know that there are certain relationships that are described purely in terms of their sanction. So, Eshet Aviv. Eshet Aviv, we understand, means a father's wife. When it says Kalato, Eshet Beno, that means a son's wife. The Torah doesn't answer any casual relationship that the father had to the son, or a casual relationship that the son has, is an answer to the father. It's not a daughter-in-law, and that's not a stepmother. So what's the problem? Therefore, there's no, you can even, lechatchila, go ahead and marry a woman that your father had as a mistress, and vice versa. Father can marry a woman that his son had as his mistress, or that he raped, whatever the case is, without kiddush. That's all that counts. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, he says, well, I agree about the part about kalato. That's true. A son who has a casual relationship doesn't ask the woman and father. But the father who rapes a woman, or mefutatav yivarchsam, has a casual relationship with a woman, does ask that woman on his son. The Omer of Gidol Amarav, where does Rabbi Yehuda come up with such an idea? My time at Rabbi Yehuda. Because, says Rabbi Yehuda, look, it says, lo yikach ish et eshet aviv, which I would have thought meant an actual eshet aviv, but then it says, lo yigale knaf aviv. Knaf aviv to me means the skirt that his father picked up, basically. It was knaf shira'a aviv, lo yigale. His father was playing around with that skirt, that's not the skirt that you should be touching. So in other words, okay, so I'm going to jump to conclusions. Mimaidabanu saktiv. How do I know that that's talking about Anusat Aviv? Because Ktiv Mi'eluya Dikra, that I know Mi'eluya Dikra, from the pasuk comes directly before it. Dikhtiv, V'natan Aisha Shochevi Ma Lavi Anara Chamishim Kaser, which is followed immediately by Lo Yikach Ishet Eshet Aviv. And what in the world does the case of rape, which it's talking about over there, of pain, Li'aviha Na'ara, what does that have to do with Lo Yigaleh over there? Must be that they are related. In other words, that we are talking about casual relationships, if you call rape casual, but not married relationships, such as Avia Na'ara. And also, the next case is another one of those examples. The case of the Avia Na'ara, where the person has to marry the girl or pay the father, and the case over here, where a father had a relationship with a woman that the son now is also. It's all part of the same basic list of things in which non-ishut creates chiyuvim. Either chiyuvim of tashuvim, in that case chiyuvim of marriage. In the case of rape, chiyuvim of non-marriage. In the case of a father to a son. So, I mean, if that's the reason, and Rabbi Yehuda can say that knaf aviv means something because of its context, obviously he's now being dori smuchim. Say the Rabbanu, well, we're the big smuchim people. Don't come and teach us now, suddenly discover in America about smuchim. Problem is that this isn't really smuchim. Because between the Natan Lavia Na'arach HaMishim Kasev and the Lo Yigalek Naf Aviv, it says Lo Yigalek Ishet Eshet Aviv. Eshet Aviv means Eshet Aviv, right? So, Iavi Samech, look, if it was literally Samech, okay, we would have agreed with you that Knaf Aviv is defined by the case of Anusa that's referring to earlier. But Ashtagolo Samechle, it doesn't really now appear directly connected, because after all, when we can read these lines, even though these lines are an insertion, we know they're an insertion because all of the Rishonim basically are Toreach to define the Gemara, so it clearly wasn't in the Gemara, so we have it here in parentheses because the Achronim take it out, but we might as well read it because it's the truth. It's Lo Samechle, Dichtiv Lo Yikach Ishet Eshet Aviv Benatayim. Between the Lo Yigaleh Knaf Aviv and the Natan Lavia Na'arach HaMishim Kasev, there's another pasuk. It's talking about Ishut. Therefore, we suggest that the meaning of Knaf Aviv, what are we talking about over here? This pasuk is referring to a Shomeret Yavam HaKatov Medaber. It's talking about a licit relationship, but one that is not part of the norms of Eshet Aviv, but rather a woman in waiting, so to speak. And that's a Shomeret Yavam, where the Torah creates the relationship. The father's brother died. So now the father is in the spotlight to do Yibum. He hasn't done the Yibum yet. That's called a shomeret yavam. Somebody who's sitting and waiting. This woman is sitting and waiting for yibum. Now the truth is that this woman obviously is usher on the son anyway. Any shomeret yavam, even from a non-relative, is a surah with a lav. Lot yesh tamet hachutza leizar. That's a lav that applies in both directions, as all of these surah yerva apply. Furthermore, she's even worse. It's going to be an usher to the son over here because she is also his aunt. And that's an iser. Right? She's the wife of his father's brother, one of the Arias, one of the Tesvav Nashiv. Anyway, she's a sur. The Torah is adding over here yet a third iser. There's another iser of a shomeret yavam of a father is an iser, type of iser erva that comes because of the relationship to the father directly rather than a relationship through the brother of the father or the general iser of shomeret yavam. V'la'avor alav, and therefore in this case it would be adding an additional iser, b'shnei lavim in the sense of shnei lavim of shomeret yavam, is obviously the other iserei erva. But every shomeret yavam is a surah, additional lav on this particular shomeret yavam, not to mention the Arayot problem of how she's related to him by being his aunt. Therefore, we say, forget about the smuchim in this case, but in any event, I mean, Rav Yehuda, here's Rav Yehuda, who was the one who said, V'chimi p'nei some klin yanlo, I don't know what you're talking about. All of a sudden, he's the one that's being derish smuchim over here. So apparently there's something about the nature of smuchim here that is different. And what is the basis of that difference in Mishnah Torah, my time in the Darish? Why is he Darish indeed in Mishnah Torah? Well, Ibaitema Mishum Demucha, Ibaitema Mishum Demufne. Either because the way that Mishnah Torah is constructed is that it forces you, it makes it evident that it's putting this here for that purpose, or it's because it's also a repeat. Mishnah Torah means a repetition. The truth is that Mishnah has two meanings, both of which are very important here in this context. Mishnah refers to Shana, which is to repeat something once again. So we call Mishanein, somebody that goes over is learning again, again, is Mishanein Limudo. However, the other element of Mishnah is that by definition, it is a review in context. That's what the reason we have Sidrei Mishnah. Sidrei Mishnah means we have structures that Mishnah expresses. So what Mishnah is always organized, as opposed to that which is initially presented, which could be presented as part of the chaos of life itself. The question comes up, Kadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvah, you, and so on, so that you have a mitzvah that's given, perhaps not in context, maybe it's in a historical context. A spatial context, whatever. But it's certainly not necessarily in the context of the way it's presented in the Chumash. But when it comes to Mishnah Torah, there's two very important issues. First of all, it's a review, which always means that there's going to be elements of the extra, because when we review something, you're saying it over again. So, okay, why are you saying it over if not to teach me something? But furthermore, there's the stress on why here in this fashion. Therefore, says the Gemara, even though on the surface the Gemara is asking just a particular question about this case, obviously since the Gemara has made it dependent on the idea of Mishnah Torah and not on a case-by-case basis, the question that the Gemara is asking over here, how do we apply the overall sense of Mishnah Torah to this particular case? And we do this every time Rav Yehuda is Darish Smuchim, even though it appears local. It isn't local. It's the application of the overall idea of Mishnah Torah to a local example. So that would mean that there's two ways of approaching it. Either the fact that it's a repetition, so that would mean that it's mufne, it's extra. What are you going to do with it? What's the day to teach you? Or because it's muchach, the fact that it appears where it does forces you to be Darish Smucha, which is not true in the rest of Chumash. Why do we say it's either mufne or muchach? Well, let me show you. Let me show you that there's no choice. Because what the heck is it doing here differently? It's completely out of context. It's one thing where I don't expect a particular context. But I've already established the Parsha of Arayot very clearly in Achrimot and Kedoshim. I've got a Parsha of Arayot. What is this doing here, Bichlal, in the middle of Kitetze? Smack bang in the middle of nowhere. All of a sudden I'm talking about that Lo Yikach Eshet Aviv. So what's it doing here? It's got to be teaching me something new, right? Something that does have to do with the context in which it's presented. Or, if it's also repetitious. He came, Lo Yikach Eshet Eshet Aviv. And what is this? Lo Yikach Eshet Eshet Aviv, Lo Yigalet Knaf Aviv. What is that? It sounds basically the same thing. But what is it? A literary exercise into describing what an Eshet Aviv is. We've got to talk about her skirts and her corners. What's this all about? So Loma Shumami, now therefore it's coming to tell me, listen here, this is an extra idea, a new idea, and that new idea is meant to be understood in context. The context is Le'avia Na'ara, Hamishim Kasef, which is a case of rape or non-marriage. So now getting back to our case, we said that according, we're popping up now. So we said, remember, we're looking for a basis to the idea of esedochalosas. We started off with the pasuk, and all we did was say the pasuk, and then we immediately popped into the idea of smuchim. Now we're getting out of smuchim. Getting back to the pasuk, we were talking about the idea of the Isra of Gilayim, that is said with Gedilin Ta'asalach, which is to make tzitzit. Okay. You're claiming to me that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the overall approach of Mishnah Torah would allow him to be Dorish Smuchim even there, because it occurs also in Kitetzet. And therefore, I'd just like to see, so how do the two ideas of Mishnah Torah apply to the case of tzitzit? I mean, you've showed me how it applies to the case of the Lo Tikach Eshet Eshet Aviv. How does it apply to the Tzemru Pishtim and the Gedilin Tasalav? Well, same thing over here. Gabi Tzitzit Nami. I mean, I say the same thing. This is exactly the same logic. I mean, I could tell you that, look, the very fact that it's here in Mishnah Torah in this context forces me to be Darsha. What's it doing over here? Why doesn't it occur with the whole parsha of Tzitzit that we say every day in Kriyat Shema? What's it doing in the middle over here on its own together with the Yisra of Shatnez? Why does this whole thing occur with the Gedilim Tasar? So I need to have it as a drasha. Or I could say also, I mean, I could also say, I mean, look, it already says the din of Beged Kilayim Shatnez, Lo Yale Alecha. That was clear in Kedoshim. It's an issue back in Kedoshim where we talk about the integrity of things. We talk about Shatnez, it's a very fundamental element of that integrity. So why does it occur over here once again of the Tzemru Pishtim business? What's that doing over here? Lotar Bashatnez. And therefore, must be Lomali, Shmamin Alafniya. So, no, I don't care exactly what Rabbi Yehuda's logic is, whether it's the element of the structure of Mishnah, it's the repetition of Mishnah, but the point is, one way or the other, it certainly would apply to Tzitzit as well, and now I know why I have to have the Pusik of Yevamo Yavo Aleha, even in a case of E'achot Ishto, where it says, Lotikach, there are the Litzror, Legalot Ervata Aleha. That's the issue. Because of tzitzit. Of course, we're going to show that that shouldn't apply because tzitzit is not necessarily correct. But right now, we're taking the first step towards our question. First step, how do we know, bichlal, that there's a din of asilotas? So in other words, it would seem so far that we've got a kasha. Based on tzitzit, we don't need aleha. So, wait a second. You're telling me that these are extra psukim? No, they're not extra at all. What do you mean they're extra? We know that there's drushes that are made from this. Let's say that the Torah would have said, the Beged Kilayim Shatnez Lo Yale Alecha. Now notice the big difference between that and the Lo Tilbash Shatnez that's written over here in Kitetzev. And in Kedoshim, it says the idea of aliyah. Aliyah doesn't mean necessarily wearing. Aliyah means any way that it's on you. Because suppose a guy basically sells clothing. You know, the way that they sold clothing was that either they put on a lot of coats and walked around and would show off, you like this one, how about this one, and you kept pulling open and get a lot of them underneath. It's the old Superman trick. He was careful not to show that one unless he was in a phone booth, which is where the whole thing of trying to stuff people into phone booths, remember? That's where it came from, the original Mohret suit. So that was the meaning of Aliyah should be included in that too. It's not Levisha, but it's Aliyah. So even if we're carrying the thing around on a stick with a bunch of hangers, I mean, it would also maybe be included. So I would have thought, because of Rachmana lo ya'ale alecha, suppose I would have had the case back in Kedeshin, of lo ya'ale alecha, z'av amina kol derech halos. I would have said, what's the difference how it is that you're wearing it? I mean, it's not wearing, it's on you. Afilu mochrek suit, even a guy who's going around selling clothes. I mean, it's not really wearing it, but that's also lo ya'ale. Therefore, the Torah has to say, lo tilbashat neis over here in Kitetzei, to tell me that it has to be derech levisha, to mean levisha, the eat behana'a, usually a guy who's wearing 10 different suits is not having much hana from the upper one as he's drinking his water to make sure he doesn't lose all of his moisture in his sweating. Because rakhmana lo tilbash, avinu davke levisha, penofish anayata. On the other hand, suppose what Torah would only have said lo tilbash adneis. I would have said lo tilbash adneis means the absolute way of getting, I mean, the absolute hanah is to be wearing a baguette. But have something lightly on you. I mean, that's where the cape comes from, you know. Superman's cape. We're talking about the cape is just not really derech levisha mamish. So it's not nafish hanayata. So you always want to know why there was prelas there, right? It's all fits in. So the nafish hanayata aval. Allah, lo, maybe there wouldn't be any issue at all in wearing that cape. So therefore, I need kazar. I want to lo yale alech. I need both sukkim. No, but if it would have said Allah, we do know it. I would have thought I don't need it. I would have said just any aliyah of any kind, enjoy or don't enjoy. Can't have this thing near you. So now I know it's that there's an element of wearing which has to tell me there's some pleasure that's involved in it, not just you're carrying it around. So now I need both of these psukim, right? So therefore, kasavach wana lo yale alech. So what are you telling me that because it's in Mishnah Torah here, therefore it's extra? It's not extra at all. Says the Gemara, no, it would still be extra. Because in kein lichtavach wana lo tilbashatnes. Okay, we're not arguing about the first part. First part of the pasuk, you're right, lo tilbashatnes. Fine. What's this tzemru pishtin yaftav? What's that doing there? Your lamali. What do I need that for? She said, well, what do you mean, what do you need it for? Where else do I know that it's tafke tzemru pishtin? I do know it. Michte. The Torah writes, Beget Yelayim Shat Neiz Lo Yale Alecha back in Kedeshin. Okay? So you'll say, but it doesn't say Tzemru Pishtim. Yes, that's true. But as the Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael point out, when it comes to the Negoyim, we use Negoyim as a model, because since by Negoyim it says, Bebeget Tzemer or Bebeget Pishtim, says the Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, that teaches us that the nature of the word beged in the Torah is always linked specifically to tzemer and pishtim. Therefore, even without any further ado of tzemer pishtim yachta, I already know back in Kedoshim, when it says beged kilayim shatnez, a beged kilayim shatnez is defined as tzemer pishtim, without adding the posik over here of tzemer pishtim yachta. Because they say, hoyl v'nehemru b'torah stam begadim. We find cases where the Torah doesn't define what it means by begadim, such as beged kilayim shatnez. But on the other hand, there is a place where the Torah does define it, and that is pireit lecha katuv be'achad mihem, namely by negoyim, tzemer u'pishtim. This is beged tzemer beged pishtim. This teaches us all begadim avko tzemer pishtim. Okay, now getting back to our case. So now have I showed you that it is extra? It's repetitious. Tzemru pishtim dekatav rachmana alamali. Shema min alaf nuye. So therefore we were right in saying that Rabbi Yehuda views in general Dvarim as a place of repetition. No, but it's still not repetitious. Akati stricha. Wait. Because do we not have two occurrences? One which mentions Ha'Allah, Veget Kilayim Shatnez Lo Ya'ale Alecha, and the other one which mentions Lo Tilbash Shatnez Tzemru Pishtim. Okay? Now, there's very strong grounds for me even though you're telling me that there's both Levisha and Ha'alah, I would have had very strong grounds, if you don't tell me otherwise, to say that there's two dinim of Shabbos. There's a din of Shabbos which is defined by Beged, which means Dafket Samu Pishtim, in a case where I am getting the maximum, the minimum, the just the halah, some aspect of Kelayim, fine. So there I need to have the actual ultimate mixture of Tzemru Pishti. But suppose I'm wearing a beged. Over there it's actual Levisha. Maybe over there the Torah calls any kind of mixture. Maybe I can't have polyester and wool. So therefore I need both Tzukim. Because let's say, Sagadai Ramina Ha'alohi, where does it say the beged? By Ha'alah. Lo yale alech. Lo nafish hanayata. I don't have much pleasure out of the Ha'alah. So over there the Torah says, okay, beged. Beged is defined by Tzemru Pishti. But when it comes to the idea over here of the Levisha, Lotil Bash Shatnez, what does that mean, Lotil Bash Shatnez? Shatnez means some kind of mixture, any kind of mixture. Doesn't use the word beged there. Say, but it did say beged back in the din of the loyale. But that's because it was only talking about aliyah. Here we're talking about something worse. We're talking about actually putting on a suit. So maybe wool and polyester should not be worn, which is true for other reasons, but maybe it should not be worn. So since it's nafish hanayata, maybe kotrei mine asrachman, any two types of things are called shatnez. Therefore, I need to know over here, kotrei rachman et tzemru pishtim. I need to know that it's dafket tzemru pishtim. No, it's still extra. Because in ken lishto kromine, v'teti shatnez shatnez meha'ala'a. Since it uses the word shatnez in both cases, beged kelayim shatnez. Now that shatnez is clearly defined by the beged, right? So when it says, lo tilbas shatnez, that just rings in my ears. What is that shatnez? That's the beged shatnez we're talking about in Kadesh. So that's defined as tzemru pishtim. What are you telling me, polyester wool? So I still don't need the tzemru pishtim yavo. Why is the Torah insisting on repeating tzemru pishtim? Must be to tell me that this is meant as a drush of a gedilim tasa, so that you should put on your tzitzit despite the fact that it's going to be kilayim. That's what it's saying. Therefore, lishtakromine tete shatnei shatnei zmeha'ala'a. Therefore, now, putting everything back together, we have either an out-of-context posik, which allows us to be doris milchin, because the whole parsha belongs back in Kedoshim, or belongs with the parsha of Tzitzit. Or, we have an extra posik, because we already know that shatnez, by definition, of beged, means tzemru pishtim, and therefore, we Kedoshim, I feel a little bit of rebuke. That was thrice. You sure you don't want to make it four times? Yeah. But the meaning of shatnez is that take those things which are begeds and don't put them together. So the word shatnez means mix them. So by Negoyim it describes what a beged is, and by shatnez it says take that beged and mix them together. And you got one heck of a bag of chutneys, right? Okay, so now let's just pop our way back out. So we've established now that this is either extra or out of context. Therefore, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, we will darshan it. Therefore, that means that we have a concept of es adocha lo taseh by tzitzit, because the gedilin tasem of extra out of place is put together with the mitzvah of the with the yisra of the kelayim of the tzemru pishtim yachto, and therefore we do have a din of esedocha lo taseh, and therefore at least at this point we require the pasuk to tell me that in the case of yibum we don't say esedocha lo taseh until we get to the end of our question, which is, but what about the chorus issue? But meanwhile things seem to be doing okay. Says the Gemara, okay, what you've done now is you made the entire limud of esedocha lo taseh out of tzitzit dependent on the Tana Dvei Rav Yishmael. Right? As you've said. Since I would have known anyway that the din of beged means by definition tzemru pishtim, so therefore I now have an extra pasuk, at least that's one of the approaches, I have an extra pasuk, And I can be Doresh Gedilim Tasevach with the Loto Bashatnei Semrupishtim Yafta. So in other words, what you're telling me is that without the Tanit Ve'Rav Yishmael, I would not have known as a Dovalotasek, correct? I would have thought that you can't put tzitzis into a beggar that would create kilayim. All right, let's see that now again, because it's not true. Tanit Ve'Rav Yishmael. You're telling me time in a Kazarach when it's Semrupishtim, a lava of a kilayim, but tzitzit. If it wouldn't be for the Tanit Ve'Rav Yishmael, you're telling me that I would have thought for a moment that kilayim is usher in tzitzit? But don't you understand, by very virtue of the Tanit Ve'Rav Yishmael, I could never have thought such a thing? It's mad what you're saying. You're saying that we're going to use the Tanit Ve'Rav Yishmael to tell me why Rav Yehuda has an extra pasuk, which allows him to be Darish Smuchim, which therefore teaches us that kilayim is mutter in tzitzit, when by definition the Tanit Ve'Rav Yishmael sees kilayim in the parsha of tzitzit itself. Where? Just read ahead, man. Because it says, Aktiv, V'asu lahem tzitzit al kanfei bigdehem. Uh-oh. Bigdehem. There you have that beged business again. And the Tanit Ve'Rav Yishmael, just like they say all over, say right there by tzitzit that bigdehem is defined. Wherever it says kol begadim, always means tzemer upishtim, okay? It says over here, V'asu lahem tzitzit al kanfei bigdehem. Now last I heard bigdehem meant pishtim. The Torah says to make tzitzit p'til techelet, and techelet, as we're going to see, means by definition wool, al kanfei bigdehem, including pishtim. So that's kilayim. That means that the Torah is telling me to make kilayim in tzitzit. No? Understand? Once you hold the Tanit Ve'Rav Yishmael, it's absurd to go around the back door and figure out that you got an extra pasuk somewhere in Kitetze when the parsha of tzitzit is telling you kilayim. How can you tell me that Rav Yehuda is going to learn from the Tanit Ve'Rav Yishmael? It's nuts. So the Tanit so pishtim amarach manav like tchelas. And by the way, tchelas is definitely wool. Tchelas amrahu. But you just, as an aside, can you just prove that for me, that tchelas is amrahu? I mean, maybe tchelas is just a color. Tchelas refers to a color. You're assuming that tchelas always means wool dyed in that color. I mean, maybe it means pishtim dyed in that color. I mean, so if you have a beggar of pishtim, dye pishtim tchelet, and you got a pure tchelet on your pishtim. What does that have to do with kilayim, understand? But if I can prove to you that by definition, tchelet is only wool dyed in a particular color, then the Torah is telling me, and this is what the Tanit Ve'Rav Yishmael obviously holds, that you've got kilayim built into tzitzit right at the source of tzitzit. So how do I know that? Mimai the tchelet amro, because if you take a look at the Big Day Kahuna, and we know the Big Day, we just saw it in this week's Haftarah actually, that the Tzemer Loya Aloha, this is talking about on Yom Kippur and over there in Yechesto, so all their begadim should be pishtim, and they shouldn't be wearing the Tzemer in their begadim. So since we know that the list of the begadim of the Kohen refers to the Tchelas, Tola Shani, the Argaman, and Sheish, which is really weird, because Sheish is a material, and everything else is a color. Okay, so how are you now listing as if, I mean, if I ask any child what doesn't belong in that list, they'll tell you Sheish doesn't belong in that list. That's a material. What does that have to do with colors? So that means that by definition, the Sheish is always undyed, and the other things that are mentioned are variations of the non-Sheish material, which is the Tzemer, because Beged is Tzemer or Pishtim. So if Sheish, therefore, Bad, which is called Sheish together, that's the Bad, Michnese Bad, Sheish Moshe Zor, so Bad, that means it's Pishtim. So then when it lists the other colors with it, so then those colors are, by definition, Amra. They're by definition, wool. Okay, so the Kol Begadim Tzemer Upishtim, Tchelas is Amra, Midashesh Kitna Tchelas is Amra, and therefore, there's something very wrong with your drasha. On the one hand, you're telling me we've got to be dependent on the Tanit Ve'Rav Yishmael's limud because we know Tzemer Upishtim from Beged. Therefore, Tamra Pishtim is extra. Therefore, we can be Darish the Smukim of Tamra Pishtim to Gedilim to Asala, where meanwhile, the very ton of the very Rabbi Shmuel that you're relying are sitting there giggling at the nonsense of not looking at the Pasuk itself that says, put tzitzis into Tamra Pishtim, they're made out of wool. You can't say more clearly to make tzeles, to make kelayim, and you're looking for an excuse to make kelayim.
Is it possible that once it becomes tzeles, right, or once it's combined, it becomes a totally different material? And
yeah, it's called kelayim. That's a totally different material. A mixture of tzemer pishti, it's a totally different
the
material.
Combination of the tzemer pishti, I'm saying once it becomes the wool and the coloration.
No, Torah is in makpana coloration. It just says tzemer pishti. Tzemer pishti miyachadav. What's the what color it is? Okay. So says the Gemara, wait, hold on a second. You see, it's not enough of a proof what it says by the parsha itself. Because I might have thought, Rava says, look, on the one hand, the Torah talks about Asulam tzitzit al kanfei bigdehem, right? Or notnu al tzitzit hakanaf. Strange, isn't it, that there are two kanafs right here in the same lima. The kanaf aviv and the kanaf bigdehem. But be that as it may, the Torah talks about the kanaf. Okay, now kanaf means look at the material that you're using. What's the beged made out of? Take the same material and stick it into the corner. That's the kanaf. Okay, so on the one hand, the Torah is saying, use the material of the kanaf. You have a polyester beged? Use polyester. You have silk? Use silk. That's on the one hand. You have wool? Use wool. I mean, whatever you got. But on the other hand, the Torah says specifically, tzemeru pishtim, when it says over here, the yedilim. So now, how do we explain that? Is it tzemeru pishtim, or is it anything at all? So therefore, says Rava, there's the primary tzitzit. Primary tzitzit are tzemru pishtim. You can use tzemru pishtim on polyester. You can use it on silk. You can use it on any baguette at all. But if you're not going to use tzemru pishtim, and you've got a silk talit, so then you can make the tzitzit out of silk, but you can't make it out of cotton. You can make cotton for cotton, silk for silk, polyester for polyester. And you can use tzemer or pishtim for all of the above. That's the difference.
Would it still be called tzemer if that was a
different design? No. So, okay, so, tzemer or pishtim potrim bein b'minan ben shalom b'minan, for the lavan. Now, as Moshe Baruch points out, shar minim b'minan potrim shalom b'minan enim potrim. So, therefore, says the Gemara, you can't tell me by the fact that it says in the Parashat Tzitzit to use now the Tzitzit HaKanfei Bigdehem, I would have thought that's referring to non-Tzemeru Pishtim. What are you talking about? The Tanna Devei Rabbi Shmuel holds there's no such thing as non-Tzemeru Pishtim. This is crazy. You tell me, I would have thought it was Rava. Rava doesn't hold of the Tanna Devei Rabbi Shmuel. The Tanna Devei Rabbi Shmuel can't hold of Rava. What's he talking about? Polyester tzitzit? With cotton tzitzit, according to the Torah of Yishmael, the Torah has defined the nature of the beggar that's chayv and tzitzit as being tzemeru pishtim. What do you mean he would hold of Rava? No, we don't mean to hold of Rava itself, obviously. We mean the same logic. You know, the point is like this. When I say salgadait ramina kirava, and Torah of Yishmael, let's say the Rava, obviously they don't have Rava. I still need it. I mean, the same type of drasha. Look, what is Rava saying? Rava is saying there's a concept of knaf. Okay, to him, knaf means polyester, cotton, silk, besides wool and linen. Do we need to observe to tell me I can apply the tzemeru pishtim to all of the above, and otherwise it has to be the same type? Let me take the same logic, all right? According to the Talmud Rabbi Shmuel, same logic. I understand. Limited to tzemeru pishtim. Let me say it like this. The Torah says knaf. Okay. So then what it's saying is, sakdat gamin kidiyuk de Rava. I'm not saying exactly like Rava. I'm saying use the same logic that Rava is using. Okay? The Rav is saying the word kanaf is a reference to the way that the string relates to the material of the beggar. To him, that means polyester. Good. Forget about that part. Let's not be too literal about this. But the idea still applies. Donner de Vere Bishmol doesn't mean polyester. It means wool. Or it means linen. So when it says minkanaf, the Torah would be saying, if you have a wool baguette, then you use wool. If you have a linen baguette, then you use linen. That's all that it's saying. It never says to put wool into a linen baguette or vice versa. At least from the parish of Tzitzit, that's what I would have concluded, exactly the way Rava says. Namely, hakanaf implies min kanaf. In which case, what is the Torah telling us? That, Ovid like Semer, let Semer. You got a Semer baguette? Put in Semer strings. You have a Pishtim baguette? Pishtim la Pishtim. Put in Pishtim strings. Now, what about that business about the Tcheles? What's the problem? It doesn't say to put the Tcheles into the Pishtim. All it's saying is, in a case where you're using wool, Ki avidita Semer la Semer, when you're using wool, Tzave. So then dye it. Dye it the right color. Make it tcheles. I'm not telling you to make pishtim tcheles, because there ain't no such animal as a pishtim that's tcheles. Tcheles is defined, as we saw, by wool. But I mean, certainly, where would I come to think that the Torah says to put in the tcheles of the pishtim, which would be kalayim? Where did the Torah mati kalayim? Bishlam, if you're telling me without rava. Without rava, I would have said, okay, kanaf doesn't mean anything. So then it's just telling me, put in beged and semer into Pishtim and Tzemer into Pishtim or Tzemer. As you wish. So then fine, you'd be right that it would mean Kelayim. But now that we see Rava, we have no reason to assume that it means either of the above into either of the above, because Kanaf would refer to very specifically into its match. So where would I get Kelayim? Therefore, even I'll leave it at the very Bishmal. There wouldn't be for the Smuchim in Mishnah Torah, which puts together the Gedilim Tasalach together with the Beged Kilai, with the Yetzemru Pishtim Yachta. So then, I wouldn't have known that. This is Dochalota said. Because Sakat Aitramina Kidyukidarava, Haknav Min Knav, according to the Tanakh of Rabbi Shmuel, therefore meaning as follows, Vavikam Rachmana, Ovid like Semel, Tzemer, Pishla Pishtim, what about Tchelet? Ki Avidit, that Tzemer, that Tzemer, that Tzave, the color of Tchelet. But certainly, Tzemer, the Pishtim, Pishtim, the Tzemer, Chas for Shalom. Look, Katav, look, I would never be able to do such a thing. Katav Rachmana, therefore comes along the Torah to say, Lo to bashat nes tzemru pishtim yachtov, to tell me, afilu tzemer la pishtim, u pishtim la tzemer. Now, we know that there's a din of asei dochalotas. Of course, this leaves us a little bit hanging, because we're limited by the Tana de Rabbi Shmuel for the drosha, assuming that the reason that we're making the drosha is because it's extra. How about if the reason that we darsh in Mishnah Torah, I'll leave the Rabbi Yehuda, is dafka because it's extra, and you also hold to the Rabbanan, who don't say that every beggar means tamru pishtim, and you don't say that there's an alternative to being darish the Mishnah Torah, namely that it's just contextually different, then what? Well, we've got plenty of basis, but we'd like to make sure we have this wrapped up very clearly before we get back to our question of Karet. So tomorrow we're going to get into that. And what about if you don't hold that the Tana of Rabbi Shmuel, and you do hold that the only, and you hold back Rabbi Yehuda, who normally isn't Torah Smuchin, and you hold that the reason you're Torah Smuchin in Mishnah Torah is only because it's extra Lafnuye, then what if you hold like the Rabbanan? That's a lot of ifs. But as I say, we like to dot all our I's and cross all our T's. So we'll do the crossings tomorrow.
I don't care.
Time at the Kasev Rachmana Aleha. Halava ki ava minach o kisham mi ademet. My time. The Amina Rati Esav Adokhi Lotase. Ema the Amina Rati Esav Adokhi Lotase Lotase Greda. Lotase sheyesh po karet midachi. The two, even Lotase Greda. How do we know? We know on the dock, Dichti. Lo to bashat neiz gedinim tasavav. Yomer Rabbi Elazar smuchim minatara minayim. Shnem asmuchim miyad v'yolam. Asuyim be'emet v'yashar. Yomer Rav Sheshi somer Rabbi Elazar b'shomer Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Minayim v'yivama. שנפלה לפני מוקשרין, שאין חוסמין אותה to be together with this guy, שנאמר לא תעצום שור בדישו, ושמח לה כי ישבו אחים יחדה, ויום רבי יוסף אפילו מנדיע לא דורש סמוכן ביאמה, ובמשתתר הדורש, הרבי יודה ביאמה לא דורש, ובמשתתר הדורש, וביאמה מנולן לא דורש, תניה, ונעזה אומר, נאמר מהחשיפה לא תחיה, ונאמר כל שוכב עם אמא, מות יומה, סמכו עניין לו, מה שוכב עם אמא בסקילה, which we learned from the דמי הבן, so אף כל אף מחשבה בסקילה, אבל לרבי ירחים, שסמכו עניין לו, נוציא זה לסקילה, אלא אוב ידוני בכלל מחשבים היו, למה יצאו להקיש להם ולומר לך, מה אוב ידעוני בסקילה, אף מחשבה בסקילה, ומשתתור מנולן ודורש תצנן, נוסי אדם הנוסעת אבים ומפותת אבים, הנוסעת בנו מפותת בנו, רבי יהודה עשר בי הנוסעת אבים ומפותת אבים, ויום רבי יהודה מרב, מייתם לרבי יהודה, דכתיב לא יקחי שתשת אבים, ולא יגלה כנף אבים, כנף שראה אבים לא יגלה. ממה דבר הנוסע כתיב? מילו ידקרא. דכתיב ולתן איש השוכב עם על אבי הנערה 50 כסף, וסומך ולא יקחי שתשת אבים, רבונן, יאב ישמחלי, really, then get a garment. באשלה לא ישמחלי, דכתיב לא יקח איש את אשת אביו בינתיים. So then it's talking about over here not anusa, but rather בשומרת יבמה כתוב מדבר, ולעבור עליו בשני להבים. ובמשתתור, my time of the דורש, איבו איתם המשום דמוכח, ואיבו איתם המשום דמופני. איבו איתם המשום דמוכח, אתם כן דכתיב רחמן, אגב בעריות. ויבוא את אמא משום דמופני, דאם כן לכתוב רחמנה לא ייקח איש את אשת אביו. What's this לא יגלה כנף אביו? למה? שמע מינא לאו פנויי, וגבי ציצית נמי. ויבוא את אמא משום דמוכח, ויבוא את אמא משום דמופני. ויבוא את אמא משום דמוכח, דאם כן לכתוב רחמנה גבי פרשת ציצית. למה ילכת הכת ויחה, אנס תתלמי, לדין אבס את אוכל לא תעשה. ויבוא את אמא משום דמופני, מכתיבו בגד כליים שעטנז לא יעלה עליך. What's the point of לא תלבש שעטנז? צאצאים רופישתים ירקו. למה לי? שמע מן הלאה פנויה. What do you mean להפניה? אני מכתיב צריכי. יקראת רחמנה לא יעלה עליך, ומן כל דרך הלאה עשר רחמנה. אפילו מלך רכסות, כסף רחמנה דרך לא תלבש שעטנז, דומיה לביש, עדיד בהנאה. On the other end, יקראת רחמנה לא תלבש, ומן דווקא לביש, which is נפיש הנייתה. אבל העלה לא, כסף רחמנה לא יעלה עליך. אם כן, לכתב רחמנה לא תלבש שעטנז, צמרו פישתם לא מלא. מכתב, כתיב בגד כליים שעטנז לא יעלה עליך. And בגד means צמרו פישתם anyway, as the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel taught us. So over them were בתורס סתם בגדים. ופירט לך כתוב באחד מהם, namely צמרו פישתם. So that means every בגד is צמרו פישתם. What's the point of צמרו פישתם? כסף רחמנה לא מלא. שמע מן הלף נויה. Still, maybe by halal, where it's not nafish anata, so then it says beged lo yaale, but levisha, which is emrepisha, but levisha, which is nafish anayata, and it doesn't say beged, so maybe kotre mine is asrachmana, and therefore we have to say over here also only emrepisha, because it came ishtokramine. I would have known anyways from the word shatnez. I would have learned it out from Ha'ala'a, that it means Tzemru Pishti. Now, Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel, telling me that according to Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel, only because the Torah writes Tzemru Pishti, if not for that, I would have said, Kelayim, but Tzitzis is Asr Achmanah. It says, Asulahem Tzitzitak and Fei Big Dehem, and the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel hold Big Dehem means Tzemru Pishti. The Omer Achmanah of the Tcheles, and we know that Tcheles is by definition wool, and it says to put the wool into the pishtim, which is now defined as kelayim. So what more do you need than that? And how do you know? Mimai tefeles amra, but the sheshkit, the tefeles is amra. Anyway, it's kasakot haminik in the rava. The rava rami, k'tiv ha-kanaf, which implies that the tzitzit should be made out of the mina kanaf. On the other hand, it says, tzemeru pishtim. Okay, tzat, tzemeru pishtim potrim ben biminan ben shalom biminan. Where shar minim, are only pater bimina, but shalom bimina may be true. What do you mean? The Tana Rabbi Yishmael would have hold of Rava. The Tana Rabbi Yishmael doesn't hold of Rava because there is no other beggar. What do you mean, min kana? It's Sakat Hamina Kidiyuka the Rava I'm talking about. Not the din of Rava. Knaf, mina knaf. So what would it mean? Welcome Rachmana, Ovid like Samar, let Samar, Pishtim, let's Pishtim. That's also kanaf. And nobody says it has to be cotton. But ki avida tzemer letzemer, so then use tefillos, tzave. But to make tzemer lepishtim, to put in pishtim letzemer, lo. Therefore, God said, Rachmana tzemer lepishtim, that even tzemer lepishtim with pishtim letzemer, which tells me that esa is docha lotas.
That's it.